joining us again today, our Ask the Expert, Steve Fierstead, back to Nature Wellness Center in Litchfield. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. Is spring happening in Litchfield or not?
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Isn't it something? It's just great. Can't wait for the full show of flowers. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
I know you have a lot of wildflowers, don't you, in your backyard?
We do. We've got a lot of wildflowers, and plus we've got a pretty big flower garden on top of it. So, yeah, looking forward to that. It's beautiful.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Steve, last week we were talking about our cleansing, and we're going to talk about that more again on Sunday. But one of the things that occurred out of our discussion last week was a letter or a question from one of our listeners.
Yeah, I'll read that. And one of our listeners wrote to us and said, I caught part of your program with Steve, the homeopath from Litchfield, and as I was hauling a few loads of corn on Thursday, I need some explanation. Steve referred to our awesomely polluted world multiple times, and you were in full agreement with him. Can the two of you go into further detail on this massive pollution we face today so I better understand what to avoid in my life? The guys at NPR paint these topics with a broad brush and don't get challenged for doing it, but out here in the country, I don't believe that is widely accepted. Fake news has been a topic of discussion lately, and I expect we all need to be aware of it. I couldn't agree more. And
absolutely.
So I thought, okay, this was a valid letter and from someone concerned. And so I thought, you know, why don't we start with plastic?
Okay.
Plastic's a pollutant. I mean, we use it all the time, but the reality is, but, you know, when we go back, we've only had plastic for 117 years. Plastic was invented by a guy named Leo Hendrik Baekeland in 1907 when he made Bakelite, which was one of the first commercially successful plastics, and it was used for all kinds of stuff for a long time. But we've evolved in that 117 years now to the fact that plastic never goes away. Every bit of plastic that's ever been manufactured still exists, every bit of it.
That's true,
hundreds of years for this stuff to biodegrade. And so the fact that it's finding its way into our oceans, onto our beaches, there's people that count and document everything nowadays. And so in the Los Angeles area alone, there's 10 metric tons of plastic fragments like grocery bags and straws and soda bottles that are carried into the Pacific Ocean every day.
Oh, every day?
Every day. Oh, and so today we've got billions of pounds of plastic that can be found swirling around the ocean all over the place. I actually saw it when I was ocean fishing a few years ago with my brother, and there was this little floating island, and it was all plastic bags and plastic this and bottles and stuff, because they get all tangled together and they float around. And so what's happening with that, and we're going to go into a number of different kinds of pollutants to try to answer this individual's questions, but the fact that when you look at the biphenyl A and you look at the PCBs and the PAH and all of these different chemicals that are highly toxic that are a part of plastic. And so when they're microscopic parts like microfibers, for example, that are plastic, and our fish eat them, guess what? They work their way up the food chain, and we end up eating some of it as well.
Sure.
And so that's just one of the forms of the pollution, because as the plastics break apart in the ocean, they also release potentially toxic chemicals like the BPA, which can then enter the food web. And so it just gets to be this cascading mess that we didn't have 110 years ago.
Yeah, we're not catching on fast enough.
We've got things like pollution in general. I mean, we all pollute. We've been polluting since prehistoric times when we created fires, and before then the lightning created the fires. Well, that's air pollution.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, as the population grows on the planet, we have more and more pollution because there's more and more people. And so the burning of coal and wood and the presence in of horses years ago in the cities created cesspools of pollution. I mean, when you can go back to the Industrial Revolution, which brought an infusion of untreated chemicals and waste into local streams. King Edward I of England banned the burning of sea coal because people used to go to the seashore and pick up coal and bring it back. And he banned it in London in 1272 after the smoke became a problem. So this isn't new, but it's been going on. And so to think that we don't have pollution now when it was even an issue back then, and we have more people, we live in an agricultural society, especially out here. But we have to look at the fact of the matter is we have pesticides and herbicides and we have fertilizers and we have, and in those things are things like cadmium and fluoride and other metals and whatnot. There's organic contaminants. And
nobody can tell me it's not getting into my well water.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. You just have to take a sample of your water and have the proper place tested, and they're going to find trace amounts of these things.
Sure.
And so a lot of people say, yeah, well, it's just trace amounts.
Well, add it up, yeah.
Add it up, because a lot of these things are accumulative, and so they will build up into our system. You know, we have to take into consideration things like when the chemicals are released into the environment, it just disrupts the balance of our ecosystem. So it threatens our health in a lot of different ways, whether it's agriculture or transportation. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole global warming thing because that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
You know, and whether you believe in it or you don't, the fact of the matter is the emissions from our vehicles that we use every day, it contributes to air pollution. Well, guess what? Rain washes that stuff into the water, then it becomes water pollution. Water absorbs into the ground, and it becomes soil pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets to be this cascading mess of a problem. And when you look at, I can remember my grandma used to pull me, when we lived in Hoffman up by Alexandria when I was a little kid, and my grandma used to put me in a wagon, and we'd go downtown every day and get the mail, and if I was really good, I'd get a candy bar or something, and if most days I didn't, it probably wasn't good. You know, but but the fact of the matter is, I can remember a car going by, and it really smelled bad. And my grandma told me about, she remembered when she was a little kid in Norway, and the very first time a car went down the street, and how everybody was going, oh, ish, horrible, the smell.
That, yeah.
Well, now, we don't smell it.
No, that's right.
Because
we're
so used
common. To it. Yeah.
You know, years ago, before I went back to school and became a naturopathic doctor, I taught auto shop. And there were times when people would walk into my shop or in the school, even though we had good ventilation there, and say, oh my gosh, how can you stand being in here? Because I was teaching collision repair. And so you've got all of these toxic chemicals. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you're in an environment like that on a daily basis, you can't smell it. You know, if somebody's in a dairy barn every day, they're not going to smell it. But if
That's
I
right.
walk into that dairy barn, I'm going to be able to smell not only the cow manure, I'm going to be able to smell the things that they use to sterilize
everything else.
The antiseptics and all of those kinds of things. But the farmer probably can't smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
doesn't
so
mean
used
it's not
it.
There.
Yeah.
You know. When you look at household chemicals and cleaners, we will see people in here that come in with chronic health issues, and they've been involved as custodians or in the house cleaning industry or anything like that, and they've absorbed so many of these chemicals for years that they're sick from it. And so we have to clean those pollutants out of their system in the process of helping them get well.
If you go through a shelf of cleaners these days in the store, look at how many of them say, do not expose to skin.
Right.
And you wonder, well, what is this? You know,
that's pollution.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much of it. And then we've got the ones that we ingest on a daily basis, like NutraSweet, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Aspartame, folks, if you do the research, there's a great book that you can read called Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills, written by a doctor named Blaylock. He's a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he documents the fact that NutraSweet is an excitotoxin. So every time you ingest NutraSweet, it actually tricks your brain into thinking that the pop tastes better than it actually does.
Oh, I see.
But the reality is it also causes the neurons in your brain to fire so rapidly that some of them are damaged and some of them can actually die.
Oh, All right.
And so there's another pollutant. When you look at the fact that NutraSweet has been linked, very closely linked, to brain tumors, lymphoma, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, anxiety attacks, headaches, nausea, mental confusion, migraines, all kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
And so there's another pollutant. And the stuff is in Diet Pop, it's in Coke Zero, it's in Jell-O, it's in sugar-free gum, you know.
It never stops. Steve, I think you'll agree with me on this particular point, having been here in the state for a long, long time. And I was a very young lad when we moved here, and the lake I live on, I first knew when I was about 10 years old. And I could, you know, sit in the rowboat and look down 20 feet and see the sunnies.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm lucky if I can look down 2 feet.
It's called water pollution.
Yeah, and so where has all this come from? Well, of course, me as a lake owner over the years, stupidly putting on the wrong kind of lawn fertilizer, which is running right into the lake. But also we've realized, not only that, but we've realized some of the ag products are not good for it either. And we've got a stream, Shakopee Creek, that rolls itself right into our lake.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many acres of, farmland drain into that creek.
Yeah. And so there's all of these things that, people who think that we don't have a pollution problem, and I'm not saying this individual that sent the email was saying that. It didn't sound like that's exactly, he just wanted no more information. But when you look at the fact, if you do the research, and the fact of the matter is that we've got, I believe it's 69,000 chemicals now that 100 years ago didn't exist. and you can paint the picture with a broad brush, if you will, but if you take the time to do the research and break them down, some of these chemicals are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah.
Some of them aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and therein lies the problem, because we trans fats, for example. I mean, trans fats. Well, we've only had them since 1911, and now we know that they're toxic. And yeah, they extend the shelf life of food products.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, we've changed things, because all of a sudden a chemist in 1911 realized that if he heated these oils to a high temperature and then bubbled hydrogen gas through them, that he could make Crisco.
Yeah.
You know, and so for a long time people thought that Crisco was the greatest thing in the world, but even now our government is saying we got to get these trans fats out of our diet because they're killing people. They cause heart disease and strokes, and they contribute to cancer.
And that's one thing, only one thing, that we were smart enough to realize was happening, but we've gone on so many years with all of these chemicals being produced and put into our food, and we're not really sure of how it's affecting us.
No, and that's therein lies one of the problems, because some of these things are put on the market long before they're conclusively proven to be safe.
Exactly.
Trans fats, for example. I mean, it took from 1911 till recently before the government acknowledged what a lot of independent scientists have been saying for decades, that this stuff isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I'm going to bring up a sore spot here for the farming community, but one of the things that if you're a farmer and all of a sudden you find yourself being diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you better darn well take a look at the fact that independent researchers have shown that glyphosate causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, even though Monsanto and the ag industry is saying it's perfectly safe. They did the same thing with DDT for decades before it was finally conclusively proven. And so some of these things, money gets in the way, folks.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, but money gets in the way.
And in that area, too, there is a weed killer that everybody's been buying that I think it's finally banned, isn't it? I'm talking about that really strong one that's around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it right now, but, that's the problem, too. We're finding out as time goes by which one of these products is good, which one's bad, and that's frightening.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's, we could talk about this for weeks, because there are, like I said, if there's 69,000 of these chemicals, not that they're all bad, because the fact of the matter is, a lot of these things make our lives better.
Yeah.
You know, more convenient. But that doesn't mean that they're safe in all cases.
Yep.
And so it's up to the individual, if you're using some of these things, look at the research. Like I tell somebody, if I have a client, for example, that's a house cleaner, mm-hmm. and they're oblivious to the fact that they've been using things that are really hazardous for years and years, I make them take a look at that,
yeah.
and I show them the research. And so it's such a broad subject that to cover all of it in a situation like this, we can't. And
no,
that's why
it's impossible.
I deal with people on an individual basis, and
sure.
they tell me what they've been using, and then I can specifically tell them, well, but this is what you need to be doing to clean up your act.
Well, we certainly thank this listener for sending this note to us allowing us to talk about this a little bit. And let me remind our listeners also that they can send questions to us. Simply go to our KWLM website, KWLM.com. And you too, Steve, have a website.
You can send it to info@backtonaturewellnesscenter.com.
And either way, we'll get that question. Just like we did from this listener, and Steve will be happy to try to tackle it for you.
Sure will.
Well, Steve, thank you. You have yourself a nice Thursday and Friday, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Okay. Talk to you then.